The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn joined by Mick Norton today to look ahead to Friday's racing. Not a particularly large amount of jumps action on Friday, Fakenham the only meeting, and that isn't of a particularly high quality, with all due respect to them. So we're going to look at three races at Wolverhampton in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to have a look at the Aintree Showpiece, the Grand National, of course, the weights came out this week. So we're just going to have an overview of the betting and look ahead to that. As I mentioned, I'm Alex Dunn, and I'm joined by Mick Norton.
Yes, good afternoon, Alex. And yes, the anti-post betting for the Grand National livening up, isn't it? Since
yes.
The weights have come out.
Certainly is. I mean, first of all, where has the jump season gone, Mick? Mm. I mean, I think Doncaster Races tweeted at the weekend, it's only 7 weeks to the Lincoln.
Goodness.
You know.
Yes, absolutely.
Only 26 days now until the Cheltenham Festival. And obviously, sandwiched. Well, not sandwiches, but I suppose just after that, we've got the Grand National.
A lot of it's gone down the rivers into the ocean, hasn't it?
It's true, and a lot of rivers are giving it back to the racecourse at the minute, aren't they? Certainly, fingers crossed that this weather improves so we can get some quality jumping action on ground that isn't completely bottomless. Mm. That's why you're going to look at three races at Wolverhampton later.
Good races as well, actually.
Yeah, they are, in fact.
And it's competitive stuff.
Yeah,
and definitely a really good class too.
But we'll move on to them in just a few minutes. As I said, we'll just have a quick look at the Grand National. The betting, as things stand, we've got co-favourites of three. Monbeg Dude, T for Three, and Tidal Bay, all 16-1. T for Three tipped up yesterday in the Racing Post Grand National supplement. Then we've got 20s for Godsme Judge and Triolo de Len. 25s for a whole host of horses then, including Corbett Station, Hawks Point, Long Run, who runs today at Kelso. This has been recorded prior to that run, so that price may or may not change. Obviously, so many contenders, and hard to analyse at this stage, Mick.
Very much. There's plenty of those that you've mentioned will fall by the wayside, won't they?
Yes, definitely, and some won't make it, and some will choose to go elsewhere. Some obviously may have injuries or anything like that. As things stand, I'm not going to ask you for a selection as such, but which are the horses that are appealing most to you?
Well, judging on the evidence of last year's race, you're going to need a totally different type of horse now to win a national. And I think it brings far more into the equation than used to be the case. I mean, turning the Mellon Road from the last time, like 25 horses could have won the national.
Yep.
Which is incredible, isn't it? And yeah, so I think we've got to just look at it from a different perspective.
I think I was there last year, Mick, and it was certainly a very different feel to the race in that usually in a horse race, it's you want your horse to win, so to speak. But on this occasion, the cheer that went up after they'd jumped, I think it was the fifth, and they were still all there. It was sort of it was nice. It was sort of horse racing unifying, if you like. But obviously that has changed the race, as you said, and it's a different kind of horse that wins now. I mean, there's certain horses in here that I think would have been prime contenders maybe 10, 15 years ago, and now that's changed because you've got horses that perhaps don't need to jump as well to get round, perhaps don't need to stay as well, perhaps. Mm. So how does that affect you as you're looking at the race?
Well, the National nearly always throws up a story, doesn't it? A sort of can you believe it story. And you know what, the one that would be this year if you went and did it, don't you? And that would be Humpball, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, he's got oodles of class. And you could just see him taken to Aintree. They're making all the right noises about him at Nicky Henderson, who I do think, by the way, has got a strong hand in the race with Trio Delane, Long Run, Humpball and Shakalaka Boom Boom. But, you know, for the romantics, Humpball would be the perfect winner, wouldn't he? You know, after his bit fruitless trip to America, back here. We haven't seen him yet since he joined Nicky. And he could be the romantic winner of the race. Reality bites, though, doesn't it? And I think, judging on last year's race, you've got to put T for three. The handicap has given him a chance. They gave him plenty of time to get over the National last year. Didn't bring him in till nearly September. Mm-hmm. Probably just still coming back to himself in the Welsh National. He's supposed to run at Ascot on Saturday, all being well. I think we'll know a bit more for him then. And, you know, from a form book point of view, I think he's got to be considered. I'm not sure that, I mean, Tidal Bay's got a great chance from a handicapping point of view, and we know with his style of racing he'll be doing good work at the death, but will he be close enough? I think he will. I think he's got enough class, natural class. I don't think he's going to get outpaced, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I can see him being plenty close enough, Tidal Bay. So he's another one that's got to be considered. What's AP going to ride? Colbert Station, is it possible?
Possibly, yeah.
Sunny Hill Boy. I think that's going to be a big thing, whichever AP decides to ride as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's early days, Alex. Very early days. If you asked me to pick one, I'd love to see run well is Mr. Moonshine.
I was just about to mention that.
I just have worries about the trip. The owners won it last year with their Roar's Encore, very much in a similar mould of a horse. Just worry about the trip. The better the ground, the better for him. Although he seems to be handling soft ground much better than he used to. I mean, his performance at Warwick on Saturday was quite staggering, wasn't it? And
very determined as well.
And he jumps for fun.
Mm.
So, yeah, plenty to look forward to. I think if you ask me again in a month, Alex, I might know a bit more.
Of some of the horses that you mentioned there, Humpball 40-1, Mr. Moonshine currently 50-1. So plenty of value to be had. On a personal note, I'm a huge, huge fan of Tidal Bay, but I'm also a huge fan of stats, if you like, you know, and trends. So it's sort of head against heart with Tidal Bay. Lovely horse, well handicapped, but the fact he's a 13-year-old. I think I was talking to Stephen Powell earlier, and he said, I think it's 91 years since a teenager last won the National.
It's a different race now, though.
That is true.
I think you should start a new trends from last year. Because that heralded a different, sanitised National.
It's almost like running at a different track, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, I think you should start your trends from last year, really. Not from...
It's the equivalent of when Royal Ascot was moved to York. You wouldn't look at the Ascot form, would you, from previous years? You'd look at York and how it is. Because it has changed so much that... Well, I mean, you won't get many trends just off the back of last year, I suppose.
But yeah.
Apart from maybe choose an outsider. Or just follow Sue Smith, if we're going to do that.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, so Mr. Moonshine, interesting at 50s, but you're not so sure about... the trip for that one.
I'd certainly throw a tenner each way on him just for, because I missed Aurora's last year, didn't I? And I doubt if I'll ever get over that.
Did you miss it completely?
I missed it completely, yeah. But there you are.
Not one you want to be missing again. So.
No. Colbert Station was still going well. He got rid of his rider at the chair last year, and they've trained him with one race and one race in mind. There are a lot you can make a case for at this stage, but as you say, a month down the road, the picture will be an awful lot clearer.
Yeah, certainly. Okay, then, great stuff, Mick. We'll move on to Wolverhampton then. No Grand National horses running here. We'll start with the 505. It is a Class 6 handicap over slightly extended 5 furlongs. 12 runners down to go to post. Where should we start here, Mick?
Yeah, well, I think I'll start with a selection, and it's going to be Sapphire Song from the Inform Alan Bailey yard. He's booked Martin Harley to ride. She's got a good draw in three. She finished third in a nursery this last year off of this mark, and this trip as well, five furlongs. And she's back to form the last twice. And the stable, as I say, are in really good form. That was she was a bit unlucky at Kempton last time. That was over six. And we know she's effective at five. She's got a good draw and a good rider and a good stable in plenty of form. I think she's going to be very, very hard to beat. Wiki Tiki has got the penalty for that win last time at Southwell, but is effective on the polytrack. Is £4 higher, though, for that Kempton Park third the time before. But as I say, that did show effectiveness on polytrack and a well-being with a ready win in that Southwell contest last time. So she rates a danger. And the other one that I've got to mention is Argent Touch, who is effective here at Wolverhampton. Comes here in great form, but has got a bit of a coffin box draw in a tight handicap with it, where the margins are so slight that he might just rule against him. But you can't rule him out the race altogether, but that draw just slightly puts me off. But he should be on the premises. But I'm going to give the vote to Sapphire Song.
OK, Sapphire Song, the pick there in the 505. The next race that we'll look at is the best race on the card, the 6:35, Class 2 over an extended mile and a half. Seven runners down to go to post, so just missed out on a little bit of
And what an each way race it would be as well.
Definitely.
Because it's going to be a good betting heat. We've got the weights are headed by Mark Johnson's Blue Wave, who nearly pulled it off after the handicapper's attentions last time, but he's off 95 now. That just shows the quality we've got on offer in this class too. We've got Kashmir Peak, who ran well both starts here, including over further last time off this mile, when second to Be Perfect in that race that Adrian Nicholls basically stole, didn't he, from the front. And he's actually £6 better off with Majika for a length and three quarters when they met here the time before, and that was when Majika won. Majika, she's won three of her last four. Only defeat came at Southwell, we'll forgive her that. The mark's gone from 74 to 87, means a career best required. Going to struggle to confirm that course and distance form with Kashmir Peak on the revised weights, which leads me to the selection. Like a Diamond, who was a course and distance winner 7 days ago, has got the penalty for it, but you look back through this horse's profile, it's quite staggering. He's run over a variety of trips, yet he's yet to run a bad race. And he did look very good over this course and distance last time under Tom Queeley. Has to do it in the 80s under the penalties, but definitely going the right way. And I like the way he won last week. So the vote's going to go to Like a Diamond. The only one I want to mention is Echo Brava. Echo Brava's more exposed than most of these, and has been very busy. This will be his 17th start in the last 12 months, but he definitely appears to be still on the upgrade, and he's certainly in form and can run off the same mark as the narrow defeat last time. That's what hurts about it not being a dead eight. Echo Brava is going to finish third, I think, you know, at a nice price, but we're not going to get anything for it. So, but Like a Diamond in a very tight contest and a really good class too. Well done to Wolverhampton for that.
No, I agree with what you're saying about Echo Brava. Very consistent and from a slightly more unfashionable yard, yeah. So you'd get a nice price.
Absolutely. But just probably going to miss out on
possibly
on the 1-2.
Very, very good race, though. There's only Flying Power, who does not have first or second form in the last couple of runs. So
exactly. It is still struggling with its handicap mark, Flying Power. Mm. And
good horse in his own right, though.
Absolutely.
Just probably not
about three
tomorrow.
Times course and distance winner this time last year, Alex.
Yeah, very true. But that form is littered with ones and twos for all arrivals, and it promises to be a good race.
And I haven't even mentioned Modernism, who's won four of its last seven, but he just sort of looked as if the handicapper might be in charge last time, and he's got to bounce back in a tough race off a career high. I reluctantly had to draw the line somewhere. I mean, we've mentioned all the field, and the vote goes to like a diamond. I hope I've gone the right way.
Yeah, very, very open. Someone's going to be left disappointed, but hopefully not Evan Williams and Tom Queeley with like a diamond there in the 6.35. The final contest that we'll look at is the 7.05 Phillies Handicap over the same trip. 1 mile, 4 furlongs and 50 yards. We do have the 8 runners here. Let's hope that they all stay in for this Class 5 contest. Obviously not as strong as the 6.35, but still a decent enough race in its own right. And it's the Phillies' turn this time.
Yeah, and a good bit of placing by David O'Mara. He's got Dan Silly Dutch in here without the penalty against her own sex. And I think that's a brilliant piece of placing there. Won an apprentice race last week. And since joining David, her mark has gone from 33 to 60, this filly. And as I say, she comes in with very good form, no penalty for that apprentice win, and she's going to be very hard to beat in her current form, especially with question marks over the rivals. Remix, no wins in the 60s. Did come back to form with a third of a course and distance last time off a £4 higher mark. So not out of it from a handicapping point of view, and was placed off 70 in 2011. And the other one worthy of mention is Sean Gualia, is trained by Dave Simcock. This is her handicap debut. She's less exposed than most of these, and maybe more to come now she's going handicapping. If the steady improvement that she showed in maidens since she stepped up to this trip is any guide, then she's not going to be far away. But great bit of placing by David O'Mara with Dan Silly Dutch, and Sean Gualia might be the each way angle.
Okay, then Dan Silly Dutch there in the 7.05 with Sean Gualia also mentioned. Lovely, Mick. Could you just run us through the three selections at Wolverhampton on Friday evening?
Yeah, 5.05 Sapphire Song to get ahead in front after a couple of luckless efforts for the inform Alan Bailey yard. Like a diamond to continue winning ways now that they've arguably found his best trip for Evan Williams. That's in the 6.35, a cracking class two. And Dan Silly Dutch to win the 7.05. Great bit of placing by David O'Mara to find this against their own fillies without a penalty after a winning apprentice race at the track last week.
Excellent, Mick. Best of luck with those, and we'll speak soon.
Thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.